talking, walking through a particular series for February, or for those of you who are not from Chicago, February. For those, the rest of us, February. Like library and library. I don't know the difference. It's library. Library. February, March, and April. We're going to be doing this for about 3 months. This has been, I've got to admit, the most requested series for the past 2 years. When I've been talking about what do you want to do, what do you want to hear, where do you want to go, this particular series. And although it's been requested often, I have not felt as though it was the right time until now. I feel that this is the perfect time, the absolute right time to begin to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. What it looks like in a gathering of believers. So we racked our brains and we thought about, you know, it's kind of like an audiovisual system. Now if you take out one component and put in another, right? Sort of what it would be a perfect illustration, wouldn't it? This morning, if I had thought of that ahead of time. That's not what I was thinking. I was racking my brain to come up with a really good illustration about spiritual gifts. And I thought about my car. How I bought that car, and I liked that car. It was brand new. It looked really good. And how now, after 8 years, there are small little components that are no longer functioning. And how even the smallest little component on my car, when it does not function, it affects the rest of the car. All of these little things in the car are interdependent upon each other to operate correctly. But that doesn't quite measure up to the topic of spiritual gifts. Then I thought about how we're always talking about the church or this gathering is a family. You know, and interesting dynamics of my own family, the skills and the talents and the personalities, which are abundant in my family, the characteristics, the strengths, the weaknesses, coming together, and how our family functions well when we are sacrificial, and how it starts to have turmoil when we are selfish or self-centered. But that doesn't really add up either to talking about the spiritual gifts. So we thought about the business that my wife and I owned for 10 years, Bella Events and Conferences and Fundraising, and how it took Joanna and I a number of years to figure out what we did best in the business, where we fit, what our roles were, and how it took some time for us to learn to trust each other in our own areas of expertise and then to excel in corporation or cooperation with each other. But that didn't really quite measure up to the topic of spiritual gifts. So, you know, like out of desperation, I'm thinking of my whole family getting in our van and traveling to an event that Belly Events is putting on somewhere and how I might pull together all the different dynamics of an illustration. And it didn't work. These illustrations that we sometimes refer to, been reading a lot of information from a lot of different sources about spiritual gifts, they all fall a little short because the attributes of all of those examples come from natural talents. In other words, an internal source. And then it dawned on me, wonder, like, you know, if the Bible might have an example or an illustration of its own about spiritual gifts. And Paul really does have the best illustration. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And then he goes on to give us the illustration of a body with all of its members. And we're going to look at that. We're going to read it a little bit later in more depth. The reason this is the perfect example, this is the best example, is because as believers, we hold staunchly to the fact that whether or not our members, the members of the body, are all present, the body's life source is not intrinsically internal. The parts may all be there, but the body's life source is external. God breathed, and we became a living soul. That is the key to understanding spiritual gifts. That is the key to understanding how this thing of ours is to function. External source. God breathed. Before we talk about what a spiritual gift is, maybe it would benefit us to talk about what a spiritual gift is not. Are you ready? Ready? Okay. Every once in a while, I've been known to say controversial things. I love it when you come back and you say, you know, I didn't agree with you at first, but now I'm coming around. It happens more often than you think. Listen, a spiritual gift is not a talent. A spiritual gift is not a talent. It's not a natural talent, okay? Listen to Charles Swindoll. They should be distinguished from natural gifts, artistic, athletic, intellectual abilities, or talents. Natural gifts are given at our birth. Spiritual gifts are given at our new birth by God. It's funny how often we'll sit around and say, well, then what are you good at? Let's do it. May not be what you're good at. Leslie Flynn says, gifts are not talents, spiritual gifts. Non-Christians, non-believers have talents present from birth, piano, some of us more than others, painting, sculpting, mastering languages, orating eloquently, writing effectively. Believers have gifts present from new birth. Talents have to do with techniques and methods and training. Gifts have to do with spiritual abilities. Talents depend on natural power. Gifts depend on the power of God. Talents instruct and inspire or entertain on a natural level. Gifts build up the body of Christ. Nothing supernatural happens in one who is performing when a talent is displayed. Listen to that sentence again. Nothing supernatural happens in one who is performing when a talent is displayed. Something supernatural happens in one who is ministering when a gift of the Spirit is displayed. Gifts are not natural talents. Gifts may build on a natural foundation. They may not. The Holy Spirit may express Himself upon a person's natural abilities. However, the possession of a talent doesn't mean that God will choose to use it. Likewise, the Holy Spirit may choose to give someone lacking in a natural aptitude a talent, a spiritual gift in that area. So if I'm going to use these two young men as an example, Jonathan knows how to play the piano. That is not a spiritual gift, that is a talent. However, his spiritual giftedness may be using or drawing from that talent. Joseph said Wednesday night, I am not an extrovert. He is more of an introvert. He remains relatively quiet unless he's trying to give me a hard time. But he believes, and I agree with him, that the Lord has given him the gift of teaching, which brings, it's not necessarily based on a natural talent, it brings him outside his comfort zone. So you have a natural talent or the lack of a specific talent or training, and the Spirit can either build upon it or use it, or it can bring you right outside of your natural abilities, your natural inclinations. A spiritual gift is not a talent. A spiritual gift is not a title or an office or, listen here, a spiritual gift is not a ministry. Leslie Flynn goes on to say, the sphere or area in which a gift is used constitutes a ministry. A ministry, however, is not a gift. A ministry is an outlet for the employment of a spiritual gift. The spiritual gift of teaching could be used in a formal classroom, a home Bible study, a children's program, every once in a while a pulpit. But the sphere in which the spiritual gift of teaching is exercised most often is accompanied by someone else who has the spiritual gift of administration, the spiritual gift of hospitality, the spiritual gift of exhortation. So in other words, the ministry encompasses more than the gift. The gift builds a ministry. It is the outlet. The ministry is an outlet for the use of a gift, but you cannot say that a ministry is a gift. And sometimes the gifts are used in cooperation, most often with each other in the ministry. Do you understand? And you may have someone with the gift of teaching who may not receive a title. You may have someone with the gift of teaching who receives a title like, you know, bishop, pastor, elder, depending on the outlet in which their gift is being exercised. What I find interesting is that the biblical qualifications for those who govern or administer the church, in other words, elders and deacons, are evidenced not necessarily in spiritual gifts, but rather in the fruit of the Spirit. So if you do a word study and you look at elders and deacons, what you see as their qualifications for being in ministry and being in those offices is fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit rather than the gifts of the Spirit are listed. Not only is a gift of the Spirit not a talent, not a title, not an office, not a ministry, but also, and most importantly, a gift of the Spirit is not of the flesh and cannot be done through the flesh. We are people who become determined, diligent, willpower, self-effort. That is not at all what a spiritual gift is to encompass. 1 Corinthians 12, 6 and 7, and then verse 11 says this. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone it is the same God at work. Who's at work through a gift? God, not you. You are to be the vessel. For your gift to be employed, the vessel is best emptied. It is God at work. Now to each one, and we're going to come back to this verse, listen. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit. Is it the manifestation of a talent? Is it the manifestation of a title? Is it the manifestation of a ministry? Is it the manifestation of an office? No. This is God at work, and it is the manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 11 says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He who distributes them to each one just as he determines. In other words, even if you identify your spiritual gift, if it is exercised in the flesh, if it is exercised in the flesh, how many of you have witnessed people in ministry exercising their spiritual gift in the flesh? If it's exercised in the flesh of your own strength, of your own willpower, of your own determination, of your own diligence, all the rest of us will see is you. And just you. And in time, as strength and willpower and determination and diligence go, all we will see is you burned up, burnt out, and broken. The exercise of a spiritual gift is not to be done in the flesh. We're here to see the Holy Spirit of God. We're not to see you and your talents. We are here to see the Holy Spirit of God manifest in your life in ways that are unique and beyond you. We are here to see the Holy Spirit reveal an attribute or character of His nature, not your nature. Past you, above you, surpassing you, beyond you. Okay, it's not a talent, it's not a title, it's not an office, it's not a ministry, it is certainly not of the flesh. What is it? 1 Peter 4:10 breaks it down so simply, simplifies it when Peter describes a spiritual gift as, quote, God's grace in its various forms. God's grace in its various forms. 1 Corinthians 12:7 describes it, as we've read it a couple times now, spiritual gift plainly as the manifestation of the Spirit given for the common good. God's grace, the manifestation of the Spirit. We are talking about God's grace freely given and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the words. What is the gift? The same root word, it comes from the same Greek word as grace. Something given freely, something unmerited, something unearned, something certainly undeserved. Right? Or you did deserve it. You deserved God's grace? We're talking about a gift and manifestation. That was a really hard word to figure out this week. I know what it means, I know what I visualize in my head when I'm thinking about this word, but trying to come up with a definition for it took Joanne and I a long time to do, you know, searching in places where they define words to come up with a definition for manifestation. This is the best thing we can come up with. Something that was unseen, now made visible. Something that was unseen, very real, very present, but unseen, now made visible, now made seen. So let's put it together. An invisible God freely giving a visible attribute of Himself in you and through you for the benefit of those around you in the church. An invisible God freely giving an visible attribute of His own character, His own personality, His own righteousness, His own purity in you and through you for the benefit of those around you in the church. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read this together. Read along with me as I read aloud, starting in verse 4, all the way through 27. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We'll get to that later. Jump down to verse 11. All these are at work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as the body, the one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. I love the way Paul just ventures into sarcasm here. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Romans 12, 3 through 6 says this, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Lately, I have been reading this book, this passage, this theologian, that author. And I've been so aggravated because so many of these definitions of spiritual gifts or spiritual giftedness, they sound like this. You know, one of them said, the ability to function effectively and significantly. A spiritual gift is the ability to function effectively and significantly. Another said, a spiritual gift is a particular service. Another said, a spiritual gift is a particular qualification. And as I'm reading and reading, I'm becoming more and more frustrated. I think we missed the boat. I think we've dropped the ball somewhere. I think we've dumbed down this. When we talk about spiritual gifts in general, we're talking about what are you good at, and what do you like to do, and where do you fit, and what can you do. Spiritual gifts are not about what you do. Spiritual gifts are about who He is. That is going to be a theme as we talk about this for the next 3 months. Spiritual gifts are not about what you do in the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are about who He is, living out in your life in the body of Christ. We get so caught up in role. We get so caught up in function and we forget about the purpose. And I don't think I could have preached this 2 years ago well, and I don't think I could preach it 2 years from now appropriately. This is the time. This is the moment. An invisible God, through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, intends to live out a specific attribute, a specific character of Himself in you and through you, so that in our assembling and in our mutual love and in our mutual unity, the fullness of the measure of Jesus Christ will be seen. The unseen becomes visible. The invisible God becomes evident. The Spirit is manifest, made known. Jesus Christ is literally in the room here and now. And everyone should know it. Before we talk about what a spiritual gift should do, let's pause for a moment and talk about what a spiritual gift should not do. Did you hear that phrase that I emphasized in 1 Corinthians 12, 24, 25? But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, so that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Equal concern. This harkens back to where we were last week talking about peacemakers. Fundamental, base, foundation, root. They will know that we are believers in Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is God by our love and our unity. One mind, one heart, one spirit, one purpose, every day, all day. That is your calling. And your spiritual giftedness cannot be allowed to divide. And wouldn't that just be like our enemy? Wouldn't that just be just like him to take something like the gifts of the Holy Spirit and use them to divide? And use them to cause aggravation and tension? Spiritual gifts are not intended to divide. They are intended to unite. Bring together one body. Leslie Flynn puts it this way: possessions of gifts does not indicate godliness of life. Think about that. Possession of gifts does not indicate godly life. What is he talking about? I paused. I said, maybe I shouldn't be reading this book. You know? Another one. He goes on, the Corinthians excelled in spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 7. But their church was riddled with sin and strife. Think about that. Think about that, members. Possessions of spiritual gifts do not indicate godliness of life. The Corinthians excelled in spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 1, 7, but their church was riddled with sin and strife. Who can tell me what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is about? What? Love chapter, man. Weddings. Oh, 1 Corinthians 13. Love, love. You're right. It's about love. Do you know what conversation Paul goes with his love discourse? What conversation he's having? What is 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 about? Hey, look at that. Okay, so I want to talk to you about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about gifts and where they come from in one body and one unity, and then we're going to come over here and we're going to talk about this one, this one, this one. But right in the middle, Just want to make sure I got everybody's attention. Love one another. Love. Right in the middle of one of the main discourses about spiritual gifts is love and love, love. Charles Stanley says this. The gifts are designed to work together, to complement each other, to be joined together in productive ways that benefit the whole body. Three key words were emphasized by Jesus, Paul, and those other New Testament writers. Love, humility, and peace. The exercise of the gifts without love and humility results in our coming across as a sounding and a tinkling or clanging, obnoxious sounds that interrupt and bring discord and tension. Love builds up. Love brings peace. He continues, for our spiritual gifts to become effective and to be a blessing, we must choose love first. We must work for peace, and we must remain humble. We can learn a whole lot over the next 3 months about spiritual gifts, which attribute of the Holy Spirit is trying to be shown through your life, and it won't amount to a hill of beans if you do not have humility and love, and if we do not have peace and unity. How can the gifts of the Spirit become divisive? I'm going to tell you the first five ways, real, real easy. First five things. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, given to you, shining out of you, can divide and break this church if any of the five things following happen. They're done in the flesh. Well, this is my gift. I got to keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. Be more diligent and better. Willpower will win the day. That will rip a church apart. It's like a cancer in the body. Number two, when we begin to prioritize them or rank them. When we begin to prioritize them or rank them, man, this is better than that, and we need more of this than we need that. That'll rip a church apart. Which attribute of the Holy Spirit do you think is insignificant? Which characteristic or personality of the Holy Spirit trying to live its way out in the least of these do you think is less important? Number three, when we are envious, when we become jealous. Number four, when we are not concerned about another's gift, as concerned about another's gift as we are our own. You need to have in your heart the motivation to see the attribute of the Holy Spirit lived out in that person's life in as profound a manner as it is lived out in yours. You need to love and want the best and have the best intentions, the best motives, and the best heart for those sitting around you. And number five, this one bugs me. If I have one that just bugs me more than the rest, they're all bad. Okay? But this one bugs me. When we judge others for not being as passionate about a gift as we are. When we judge others for not being as passionate about a gift and its expressed nature in its ministry in the church as we are. That will shred a body. The gifts of the Spirit should not divide. Division in here happens when the particular gift, when it's exercised in its ministry, becomes about our desires, our wants, our agenda, our timeline. In other words, when that gift of the Holy Spirit that is trying to be evidenced or manifest in your life becomes about you instead of Him. It's not about us being seen. It is about the Holy Spirit being seen. It is about Christ being full in here. If that is what a gift should not be or do, what should a gift do or be? Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says this. So Christ Himself, I'm going to read a few passages here. I'm going to summarize them and I'm going to get you out of here, okay? So Christ Himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Where have you seen that before? Take a bulletin, open it up, church verse. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 says, now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant, depending on your translation. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. 1 Timothy 4, 13, 14, and 15. Until I come, devote yourself, think about this, to public reading of Scripture. When is He going to get done so I could go home and start preparing for the Super Bowl? Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift. Do not neglect your gift. What happens when a part of your body, for some reason or another, is not working? What do they call that? Atrophy. Atrophy. Do not neglect your gift. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. We had a prayer meeting about 3 weeks ago. It was so funny. It was on New Year's Day. We decided we'll meet downstairs in a fireplace room. You know, those of us who are concerned about prayer. And we met down there. We had some wood, and man, we had some paper, and we had one of those fire logs, and we lit it, and the paper lit the fire log hit the logs, and there's flame, and all of a sudden, it would die out, and Jonathan would run over there, and he'd grab a paper plate, and he would fan it back up, and it would flame up, and die. We did not know that a snowdrift had covered the chimney. There was no oxygen. You came in here the next Sunday, this room, the next day, Thursday, my office was foggy because of how much smoke came back into the church. It's like one of those churches, what were you smoking? You know, it's just everywhere. Flame! Fan the flame! It should be something getting brighter and hotter and brighter and hotter every day. Never quenched. Never quenched. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God's grace given to you, used, not neglected, because you are a steward of this grace to serve others. Romans 1:11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong or to establish you or strengthen you. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Mutually encouraged. Serving others. Here, Brian's Amer-Italian paraphrase, okay? The leaders of the church are to be preaching and teaching and equipping so that you will be not ignorant but informed and use your gift in ever-increasing fervor, the attribute that has been given you in ever-increasing fervor, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through you in ever-increasing fervor to build, to encourage, to edify and not divide the entire body of God until Jesus Christ is fully seen. Until Jesus Christ is clearly visible when we gather together. Have you ever seen a child? We just had Christmas. Deb, on her birthday, she's ripping into presents, paper, bows and ribbons everywhere. Have you ever seen a kid go after a gift? Have you ever seen a kid go and tear into a much anticipated gift? They shred the paper. They tear the ribbons and bows. They shout with delight. And all they want to do is have at it. All day. Have you ever seen a kid take that gift to bed with them? Bet you did. Bet you did. We're clearly at a point in this gathering where it is time for you to understand and unwrap your spiritual gift.